The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to online worship on this Remembrance Sunday. Today, and even more poignantly on Wednesday, we remember with gratitude those who have served and continue to serve their country in many different capacities. Let's take a minute now to silently remember the sacrifices of many. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Please join us now in singing the national anthem. Reminds us of God's presence with us always. Let's light our candles together. Please pray with me. Living God, we pray today with grateful hearts for all who have made and continue to make the ultimate sacrifice in their efforts to make this world a better place. We thank you for this great country of Canada and for all the countries committed to bringing peace to the world. Lord, bring your peace. Living God, we pray today for those who have been lost to armed conflict around the world in years past, those who are still enduring today, and those who mourn. Lord, bring your peace. Living God, we pray that you move in our hearts to show us how you would have us serve to bring healing to the hurting, hope to the hopeless, and love to the unloved. Lord, bring your peace. Living God, move in us and through us, we pray, in the redeeming name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. Holy God, at this time of annual remembrance, our thoughts turn to the violence, fear, and pain of war. These things have so often overwhelmed our world. Today we remember and repent as we acknowledge that even in our own lives, Hatred sometimes obscures love, and violence sometimes overcomes peace. Heal us, O God. Assist us as we work for peace in our homes, our community, our church, and our world. Call us again to live lives of love, caring, generosity, and concern. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Friends, hear the visions of the prophets. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. This is the vision God has given us, and it is the hope that is before us. We can trust in God, who longs for peace, to forgive, to strengthen, and to empower us, so that by his grace, we might be peacemakers in our world. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say to you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, we are on the far side of All Saints Sunday, which actually means that we've now come to the final 3 weeks of the church year. We are spending these last few weeks in a chapter where Matthew actually concludes the stories of Jesus' life and ministry and his teachings. After this, his focus will shift towards the events of Jesus' agonizing death, and then to the spectacular resurrection. But for today, and for the 2 Sundays after this one, we are going to pay close attention to this chapter where the events of Jesus' ministry really, in many ways, reach a climax. Chapter 25 is made up of 3 final parables, all of which shift our focus from what the kingdom of God is like now as it is around us to what it will be like when it finally comes in fullness. Jesus draws us towards the future in these parables. In all 3, he gives us a peek at some things that are to come, things we will get to see when our waiting is finally over and Jesus finally brings his kingdom in fullness and comes to dwell here amongst us once again. As he does so often, in this parable, Jesus uses a very familiar part of life from the ancient world. This time, it's a wedding that he uses to tell the story. In Jewish weddings, the celebrations would often last a number of days, and they would begin with the bridegroom coming from his home to the bride's home to get his bride and take her back for the wedding ceremony and then for a party that would last for days. As the groom arrived to collect his bride, he would be met by some bridesmaids who would go out and accompany him in. In this scene, Jesus paints, the bridegroom represents him. And those bridesmaids represent those of us who are waiting for Jesus. As we heard in this reading, the groom is unexpectedly delayed, and it seems that not everyone is actually ready for this. The five wise bridesmaids had brought enough oil so that they were able to keep their lamps burning while they waited, but the five foolish ones hadn't. As we heard, they paid a high price for that. Jesus wraps up the whole lesson with a warning for us to keep watch ourselves, for we do not know the day or the hour he may come. The point of this story is really fairly obvious, isn't it? The lesson is found in how Jesus characterized those two groups of maids. Some were wise and others were foolish. And the distinction between the two seems clear. The wise maids were prepared for that unexpected wait, but the foolish ones weren't. There may be a few other things to pull from this parable, but for us today, in the time that we have, let's focus on this central lesson. Jesus wants us to be prepared and to stay prepared as we wait for his return. Well, that rather obvious lesson leads me to what I think is an equally obvious question, and that's, how do we do that? How do we ensure that we are prepared? I actually did a fair amount of reading about this passage, and honestly, there's a range of ideas of how to answer that question. For me, some of them really rang true, but others of them kind of left me with some fairly big questions. So rather than subject you to my mental theological wrangling, which may not actually help either of us, let me just focus on one thing that I think is quite clear. It's in Jesus' words. I have actually been blessed in my life to have known some people who are quite masterful with their words. Maybe you've known some people like that as well. They're people who think carefully and speak with real intentionality. I'm always struck and impressed by this because it feels like they're crafting their sentences so that they are sure they are saying exactly what they want to say. I can imagine that when I get to sit with Jesus one day, he's going to be just like that. Each word exactly perfect for what he's saying to me. I suspect that that's what he was like with his first disciples. That's why I think that there must have been a reason that Jesus chose the words he did, the words in the whole parable, and especially those ominous sounding words at the end. Remember, the foolish maids are pounding on the door saying, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." And Jesus tells us that the bridegroom says to them, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you." I don't think those are just any words. I think Jesus chose them quite intentionally. If you have read through Matthew's gospel, you might be feeling right now like you remember him saying something like this somewhere else. And you know what? You're right. It is an echo. An echo of something we actually heard back in chapter 7. He said there that some who had been prophesying in his name and doing dramatic things like driving out demons might one day hear him say to them, "I never knew you." It's equally as ominous sounding there as it is here. And the implications in both instances seem fairly clear. Knowing Jesus is fairly critical in this faith thing we are about. Not just knowing about him, but actually knowing him in the reciprocal way that you do when you're in a relationship with someone. One of those commentators I read put it this way. He, meaning Jesus, he does not say, "I never called you." He does not say, "I never loved you." He does not say, "I never drew you to myself." He only says, "I never knew you because you never bothered to know me." Now, obviously, the commentator added that last bit, but it does seem fair to think it's probably implied in Jesus' words. To really know someone, you have to make an effort to be involved and interacting with them. Relationships don't just happen. They take commitment and energy and intention. So rather than pondering how we can be prepared, we might actually be better to ask, how can we make sure that we do know Jesus? Now, in terms of specifics, the answer to that question will actually be unique for each of us. It is relationships we're talking about after all, and we know that no two relationships are the same. However, most of our answers will likely all have some common elements. Things that Jesus' disciples have found to be crucial in maintaining and deepening their relationship with him since the earliest days of the church. Today, let me leave you with three things that I think are vital for all of us in this. To use that word from our parable, these are things that we would be wise to attend to in our lives if we truly do want to know Jesus. So the first of those three things is scripture, not a surprise, right? God has given us the Bible, not as a rule book, as so many people seem to think, but rather as a wonderful resource. In the words and stories of scripture, we can actually come to know God more and more. We can discover more about God's ways with us, and also more about ourselves as God meets us in those stories. The Bible is a gift for us, and we are wise to treasure it and to avail ourselves of it in ways that can help us to discover both God and this life with God that we've been created for. So scripture is crucial. The second way that we can nurture our relationship with Jesus is through spiritual practices. And friends, there's lots of these. I'm not going to go into great detail here, but if you're wanting some help finding some practices that might be a fit for you, please don't hesitate to give me a call. I would love to talk with you about that. Of course, one of the foundational practices in the Christian life is prayer. There is no substitute for spending time focusing your attention on Jesus. And sometimes in doing that, even having the sense that he's focusing his attention on you. That's really the essence of prayer. That's what it's about and what it's for. Again, if you have struggled to find a way to pray that feels real for you, let's talk. There are a great many ways to pray, great variety of ways. As I said, it is about relationship, and your relationship with God will be personal and unique to you. But however prayer works for you, please know it is absolutely essential if you want to know Jesus. You know how we all delight in spending time with someone we love? Well, Jesus does too. And that's what we do in prayer. My experience has been that if you show up, you might just discover he's actually been waiting for you. So I encourage you, pray. Find a way to pray that works for you. And finally, if we are in relationship with Jesus and he is important to us, then it would seem to make sense that we should find ourselves caring about the things that he cares about, and even more, caring for the ones that he cares for. There's going to be more about this one in the weeks to come, so I'm not going to go into it in great detail now, but I do encourage you to remember this last point as we come to those next two parables, and especially to the third one. People who know and love Jesus love those Jesus loves. It's just a natural way of our being. So those are the three things as we think about how to nurture our relationship with Jesus. It seems wise that we would find ways to attend to these areas of our life with him, to scripture, and to prayer, and to loving service to those Jesus calls us to love. In doing each of those three, we will discover that in the process we come to know Jesus and come to know him more closely. And just as those wise maidens' extra oil meant that they were ready and able to wait until the bridegroom finally arrived, these practices will ensure that we are ready and able to wait until Jesus comes to take us to that wonderful life he's preparing us for. Amen.
Good morning, St. Stephen's family. Please join me in the prayers of the people. Dear God, as for you, you did not keep earth waiting when darkness covered her shores and chaos hurried to destroy. As for you, you did not keep silent when you knew a word was all the difference between life and death. As for you, you did not hide when discoveries threatened to change the world we thought we knew. As for you, you did not keep away when wanderers walked the earth in search of home and purpose. As for you, you did not lie still when the faithful few departed and even prophets were afraid. As for you, you did not leave us, but came as one of us in the hour of deepest need. As for you, you did not let death contain you, but rose in garden and city street, love and hope in your wake. So to you is due our praise, our thanks, our hearts to you is the glory now and always from all peoples and places of earth. As for you, Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. As for us, we would serve the Lord, putting off our waiting. Help us find our voices. Help us enter life in its fullest. Help us offer hope where there is none. Help us take the hand of friend and stranger. So for the courage to do all this, hear our prayers. As for me and my household, my church, my community, as for us together, though often apart, you know our strengths and weaknesses, our gifts and shortcomings. As for us, we would serve the Lord in the small things of friendship, kind words, visiting the sick, caring for the grieving. So for the love to do all this, hear our prayers. As for us, we would serve the Lord in the big issues of poverty, war, violence, greed, giving when there is need, speaking for those who cannot be heard, challenging the system that divides your world. So for the patience to do all this, hear our prayers. As for you, Lord God, come again to cold hearts, weary bodies, confused minds, to fill with spirit and renew with life. That service will be true, love be real. You call us to wait on you, Lord, but we get tired of waiting. Your answers to our prayers, your call for us to serve you, the promise of your coming kingdom, they all seem to take so long. You tell us to watch for your coming, Lord, but we're not sure how to prepare for a thief in the night, an undisclosed time, and your disconcerting habit of secrecy and mystery. Yet something inside us whispers that you're not all that hard to find, that you're always coming to us, and that both the waiting and the watching are more about being open to you now than about trying not to be surprised in the future. And so we will keep waiting and we'll try to stay alert so that we can catch the glimpses of your glory that fill our days every day. And glory be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, once again, let me thank you for your continued and faithful giving to the work and the mission of St. Stephen's. Your gifts are making it possible for us to find our way through this time of figuring out church life and church mission in the midst of this pandemic. So thank you so much for sticking with us. Will you join me in the prayer over these gifts this week? Loving God, may these gifts given in gratitude be brought to life through the power of your Holy Spirit. Multiply and use them to bring the word and the touch of Jesus to your people in this place and throughout the world. In his name we pray. Amen. Friends, you will have seen by your emailed announcements that there's lots going on right now. Just a few reminders. First, we have the fall fundraiser that is well underway, and it's been wonderful to hear from people and see them as gifts have been dropped off, and we look forward to more of that in this coming week. We are hosting another coffee time on November 18th. The last one was really well received, and so we're going to do another. It's a gathering, very simple, of six people. We each bring our own tea or coffee and just spend an hour having a good visit. So if you're interested in that, check your email announcements for how to sign up. And there's lots of stuff coming up for Advent and for Christmas, and lots of opportunity for you to get involved in neat ways, some small and some larger, to help us to make those things possible, to bring some light and some hope to this Christmas season. There's decorations for the Christmas tree. You could donate a string of lights to help us to light up the outside of this building and let our town know that we are still here and still very much alive. Or you could even sign up, if you're so inclined, to help out with a dramatic reading. We're preparing some fun versions of those for our Advent services, and we need lots of help. So if you're interested, check it out. All of the details about how to get involved in any of those things are in your emailed announcements, or call the church office, and we're happy to help connect you. So friends, go now and follow in the footsteps of those who have gone before us in Christ. Revere the Lord, serve God in sincerity and faithfulness, and teach those who come after you to trust in God. And may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen.